This is Barbara Ridenour, returning with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated December 11th, 2015. We'll continue now with the obituaries. Here's the obituary for Rudy Escobar. Rudy V. Escobar, 88, of Decatur, died Tuesday, December 8th, 2015. Funeral liturgy to celebrate Rudy's life will be held at 10 a.m. Monday, December 14th, 2015, at Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 2 to 4 p.m. Sunday, December 13th, at the funeral home. Burial with military honors conducted by the Macon County Honor Guard will be at Macon County Memorial Park with the flight home ceremony to conclude the service. Memorials may be directed to the Macon County Honor Guard. Goldie Mae Norton, 91, of Decatur, died Monday, December 7th, 2015. Honoring her wishes, cremation services will be provided by Graceland Fairlawn Cremation Center. No services are planned at this time. Arrangements are by Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home in Decatur. Donald M. Bruins, 95, of Pena, died Tuesday, December 8, 2015. Services were at 11 a.m. today in United in Faith Church, Pena. Visitation was 1 hour before services in the church. Burial is in Lenwood Cemetery, Pena. Arrangements are by McCracken Dean Funeral Home. Memorials may be made to United in Faith Church. Clyde E. Jean Newberry, 84, of Lovington, died Wednesday, December 9, 2015. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, December 12th, at the First Baptist Church, Lovington. Visitation will be held 1 hour before the service Saturday at the First Baptist Church. Burial will be in Keller Cemetery, Lovington, with military rites by the Lovington American Legion Post, 429. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the Lovington First Baptist Church, Lovington Library, or to the donor's choice. Now we'll turn to the editorial page, or opinion page, and start with letters to the editor. Letters. Special friend making graduation memorable. On Sunday, one of my dreams will come true. Graduating summa cum laude from Millikan University, I will be awarded a bachelor's degree in organizational leadership from the School of Professional Studies. Oh, how I wish my mother could be at the ceremony. Unfortunately, she is deep in the throes of Alzheimer's and does not recognize me anymore. Watching her decline is the most difficult thing for my sister Anne and I to watch. Then a Christmas miracle happened. My friend and mentor, Jane Spires, stepped up and said she will fill the role of my mother. Anyone who knows Jane can attest to her compassion and caring. A huge thank you for her as being an angel in my life, my biggest cheerleader, and for always being there for me, especially at my college graduation. Signed, Mary Polly Ziegler, Decatur. Thanks for support from local law enforcement. I would like to express my sincere gratitude to my guardian angels at the Decatur Police Department and Macon County Sheriff's Office, and to let them know how much I do appreciate them showing their love and support. I want to thank them for giving me a renewed spirit of hope, love, joy, and peace, which is far more precious to me than any material thing could ever be. The world and our community would be a better place if everyone showed more love and kindness toward one another. Signed, Catherine Downs, Decatur. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Thumbs up to the Vespers concert, which was held last weekend at Millikan University. The annual event, seen as the kickoff for the holiday season by many, featured Millikan musicians and vocalists. The focus of this year's message was peace, which is appropriate considering the troubled times we've experienced recently. Thumbs up to the Decatur City Council for putting a sunset on an increase in the city's utility tax. While it may be a small consolation for those facing tax increases, the council did decide that the increase from 1.25% to 4.25% would sunset after 4 years. That will be That will at least force a future council to consider whether the tax is still needed. We think more new taxes should have sunset provisions in order to force governments to consider the implications of the taxes they create. Thumbs up to the Pearl Harbor Remembrance held this week on Lake Decatur by the Beach House Restaurant. The event served as a memorial to the 2,403 who died in the attack and also a way to remind people of the importance of World War II. As David Frayling, chairman of the Veterans Assistant Commission of Macon County, said, "We have to maintain that memory so we don't do it again." Thumbs down to vandals who ruined some concrete work in Decatur South Shores Park. Newly poured concrete was left unattended for about an hour, and in that time the work was destroyed with footprints and writing in the wet cement concrete. The damage is estimated to cost between $5,000 and $10,000, and the Decatur Park District has authorized a $500 award for any information on the vandalism. Thumbs up to the Gather, Give, Share Giving Circle, which is operated by teenagers at St. Teresa, Mount Zion, and Warrensburg Latham High Schools. The circle, open to all teens, gathers funds and then distributes them to those who need help in the community. This year, that included a grant to the Decatur Daycare Center and also grants to local churches that have partnered with schools. The Giving Circle is organized by the students and operates by word of mouth. Thumbs down to Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel and the Chicago Police Department for what looks like a cover-up of a police shooting. A video of the shooting of Laquan McDonald was not made public for nearly a year, and police reports filed after the shooting do not match with what can be seen on the video. It's essential for trust to exist between the community and law enforcement, and it appears that trust has been violated in Chicago. In entertainment, Trans-Siberian Orchestra tribute coming to Decatur. The Prophecy may be a tribute to Trans-Siberian Orchestra, but show executive producer Thomas Rudebeck prefers to think of his show as an unofficial partnership with the popular arena band. In its ninth year on tour, The Prophecy features St. Louis-based Christian rock band Denial 3 performing Trans-Siberian Orchestra's Christmas music, complete with laser light show and snow. The Decatur Civic Center will be the home of two shows, Saturday, December 12th at 3 and 7 p.m. The Prophecy was originated by Rudebeck, who was lead guitarist in the show for 7 years before stepping away to run it. He said he was enchanted by Trans-Siberian Orchestra's music from the time Paul O'Neill came up with the idea in 1996. When he first said he was going to do this melodic type of Christmastime rock music, I didn't know what to expect, Rudebeck said. Taking Christmas standards and putting them to a rock opera? A lot of people probably told him that wasn't going to fly. Don't even try it. Now it's one of the biggest shows in the world. Nearly a decade ago, Rudebeck decided to start a show that would bring a slightly smaller version of Trans-Siberian Orchestra to areas that may not get the chance to see the band, which plays mostly larger arenas. I was just such a big fan of theirs, and I wanted to get it out to more people, Rudebeck said. A lot of people in smaller towns don't know what Trans-Siberian Orchestra is, and we've actually turned a lot of people to them. Onto them. The show even caught the eye of the actual members of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, who gave The Prophecy their approval. They actually reached out to us. Someone in Night Castle Management, New York, had seen us on YouTube, Rudebeck said. They contacted us and said that they were super flattered, and they really liked that we were hitting areas that they weren't. The next week, this huge box arrived with CDs, DVDs, and T-shirts. We were blown away by their generosity. Rudebeck said he decided to bring the show to Decatur, and when he saw the Civic Center while passing through town on his way to meet a friend. I had no idea Decatur had something like that, Rudebeck said. 10 minutes later, I called the guy. I met with Civic Center Assistant Manager Mike Pritchett. Looked at the facility, and within a couple of weeks we'd found a date. Denial 3 has played Christian rock in the St. Louis area for 12 years. What? It's the Prophecy, a tribute to Trans-Siberian Orchestra. When? It's 3 and 7 p.m. Saturday, December 12th. Where? At the Decatur Civic Center. Tickets are $18. Call 422-7300. That's 422-7300. Charlie Brown comes to Decatur. When the Tabernacle Baptist Church decided to recreate the 1965 animated Christmas special, A Charlie Brown Christmas, Pastor Randy Johnson auditioned for Linus because of his famous speech reciting the story in the Book of Luke. Instead, he will be playing the main character, Charlie Brown. I was typecast, he said. Charlie Brown is the director and nobody listens to him. Members of the Tabernacle Baptist Church will have 4 performances of A Charlie Brown Christmas at 7 p.m. today, 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. Saturday, and Saturday, December 12th, and 7 p.m. Sunday, December 13th at the church. There is no admission charge. The story was written by cartoonist Charles Schultz as a 25-minute animated feature. The congregation selected the play because of its timeless connection to the holiday. We wanted something that would connect with the community, Johnson said. The story is cute and funny and brings us back to our childhood. Although the original show first aired 50 years ago, the characters still are relevant today. You still have the Lucys and of the world picking on the Charlie Browns, said Ryan Neasel. The cast will stay as close to the original production as possible, recreating the script line by line. Music will be performed by a live orchestra. The children's choir will sing throughout the performance, including Christmas Time is Here. To keep up with the nostalgia, the church will project television commercials originally aired in the 1960s in between set changes. The large screen will also be used to give the illusion of snow and other conditions. The actors are familiar with the television show and know it is important to stay as close to the characters as possible. Riley Dunn will play the role of Charlie Brown's famous dog. Snoopy is a quite quiet character, but a good actor, he said. He mimics Lucy or annoys Charlie Brown. Now, as a teenager, Dunn remembers watching the show as a child, but it is a good part for a 16-year-old, he said. Instead of Johnson, Neasel was selected for the coveted role of Linus. It's okay, he sucks his thumb better than I do, Johnson said. Neasel agreed to play the laid-back character, forgetting he has the famous monologue at the end. But it's the best monologue of all, he said. Since the author was a Christian, Neasel doesn't view the play as a secular story. From the beginning, it was supposed to be the story of Christmas, he said. It's not about presents or commercialism. It's about Christ coming to earth. The church may have chosen the story for its nostalgia as well as the message, but they know it is still a fun show. Come on, Neasel said. It's Charlie Brown. If you go, it's A Charlie Brown Christmas, at 7 p.m. today, 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. tomorrow, and 7 p.m. on Sunday. It's at the Tabernacle Baptist Church, 650 North Wickles Road, Decatur. The cost is free. Tim Kaine's column. Kaine, a sadly appropriate eulogy. Once in a while, someone has the courage to say it point blank. The way we treat our artists, life in life and death, is appalling. While the reasons aren't important, they're also easy to understand. Our best artists are people who reach places in themselves we're unable or afraid to explore in ourselves. Once the art is monetized successfully, they reach another place we'll never be. In a land of extravagance and overindulgence and immediate gratification, many of us claim we'd willingly make the exchange, being willing to do something that looks pretty easy, especially when talented people are doing it in order to access, quote, money for nothing and chicks are free. Chicks are for free, end quote. Last week, Scott Weiland became the latest victim of his own excesses. The lead singer for 1990s grunge band Stone Temple Pilots, who had a number one album and five more that reached the top 10, suffered cardiac arrest prior to taking the stage for a show in Minnesota. He was 48. A handful of online tributes and a few fond memories might have been most of what was left of Scott Weiland. He struggles with cocaine, heroin, and alcohol, including jail time and rehab. His struggles were well-documented, but no different than any number of live, fast, die-young stories we know, until his ex-wife raised the stakes. Mary Forsberg married Weiland in 2000. They had two children, then split up in 2007. Forsberg this week released a letter to the world, a note co-written with the now teenage children that she had with Weiland. It's an open slap at a business that is all too willing to chew up and spit out its artists once they've been wrung dry. Early in the letter, Weiland's death date is noted as the last day he could be propped up in front of a microphone for the financial benefit or enjoyment of others. And while the outpouring of condolences was appreciated, the truth is, like so many other kids, they lost their father years ago. They don't argue that Weiland was lost to career aspirations. They instead point to his demons. Weiland's mental illnesses were as intense a wear on his wives, he was married three times, as his substance abuse. The note doesn't apologize or glorify Weiland's decision or lifestyle. Instead, it bemoans the tragedy of how his life affected the upbringing of his children. And we all, they write, certainly know someone in our own lives who's in a similar situation. There's a section of our popular culture that glorifies the idea of living fast, dying young, and leaving a pretty corpse. The death of the young in entertainment areas such as music and movies becomes its own predictable joke, and we look at the wreck briefly as we travel by, then move on to the next entertainer's disaster. It's easy to ignore the fallout, like family and loved ones. Forsberg brings children back front and center, describing disasters in their relationship even after their divorce, and vaguely hinting even more. And she issues a challenge to a society who likes to worship its dead entertainers. Let's choose to make this the first time we don't glorify this tragedy with talk of rock and roll and the demons that, by the way, don't have to come with it. Skip the depressing T-shirt with 1967 to 2015 on it. Use the money to take a kid to a ball game or out for ice cream. A friend regularly discusses the way we've treated our artists. We talk about the cycle of work forced upon the young who don't know better, and how part of the indulgence is giving the artist anything to keep them going, propped up in front of a microphone for the financial benefit or enjoyment of others, as Forsberg said. Unfortunately, Forsberg also points out that unless we learn and apply some lessons, this is far from the last time. As a society, we almost encourage it, she said. We read awful show reviews, watch videos of artists falling down, unable to recall their lyrics, streaming, or on a teleprompter just a few feet away. Then we click add to cart because what actually belongs in a hospital is now considered art. Not in every case, but in some, guilty as charged. At least Forsberg should give us pause to reflect just for a little bit. Arts and theater. Jingle Bell Jive across Little Theater stage. The producers of the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan created their latest production with one idea in mind: make a show for everyone. The theater's cast will be performing the variety Christmas show Jingle Bell Jive from December 11th to the 20th. Tickets are $30 for adults and $28 for seniors and children. The show was written by producers and writers from the Little Theater. We picked the music or had the music written for us, wrote the script, decided on the arrangements, and decided on the costuming, said John Stevens, co-creator and co-host. It was basically starting from zero and building from there. The theater will incorporate the big band sound they found the crowds loved during this summer's performances. All music will be big group numbers, with swing dancing choreographed by Megan Farley and Lexi Dorset Sharp. It has swing numbers and tap, Farley said. It's a lot of basic jive. Lindy and couple Lindy, and a couple of flips. Julie McClary was invited to join the show because of her high-energy performances. McClary is a 3-time world championship ragtime piano player. She doesn't just play, Stevens said. She's a showman. Stevens and co-writer and co-host Therese Kincaid are popular with the little theater crowds. The two have an interesting relationship which can easily be seen through the banter they have on stage. There's a lot of humor, said co-creator Jesse Sharp. In between the Christmas stuff, there's plenty of comedy bits. The producers were able to hire many of the professionals from this summer's plays. Actors, musicians, singers, and dancers traveled from New York, Chicago, Atlanta, Ohio, and throughout the country to perform in the high-energy show. Local children auditioned for a chance to perform with the stage professionals. The kids sing a very fun rendition of Jingle Bells, said Stevens. The writers began creating the holiday show before the summer plays had hit the stage. We put a script together in August and have been tweaking it since then, Sharp said. It's a throwback to those old Christmas shows, but with a modern twist. If Andy Williams were around today, this would be his Christmas special, Kincaid said. The music includes popular holiday songs such as I'll Be Home for Christmas and All I Want for Christmas Is You. But the crowd will also hear unfamiliar arrangements such as the modern Text Me Merry Christmas and the big band swing song Late Night I Went Out with Santa Claus. Last Night I Went Out with Santa Claus, sorry. Sharp and the other writers understood the importance of keeping their show traditional. It is great big swing numbers, but also has a lot of tender moments, he said. The cast will have a tribute to veterans and special rendition of Silent Night. People like the variety of Christmas music that they know, Stephen said. It makes them feel at home for Christmas. If you go, it's Jingle Bell Jive. Today through the 20th of December at 7:30 p.m. Let's see. 7:30 p.m. today, Saturday, December 12th, Tuesday, December 15th through Saturday, December 19th, 2 p.m. Saturday, December 12th. Sorry, it sounds kind of confusing here. December 12th, Sunday, December 13th, Wednesday, December 16th, Saturday, December 19th, and Sunday, December 20th. It's at the Little Theater on the Square, 16 East Harrison Street in Sullivan. Tickets are $30, $30 and $28. On the web, it's www.thelittletheater.org. Dear Abby, giving in to angry vengeance splits woman's family apart. Dear Abby, I made a big mistake 3 years ago. When I found out my husband was cheating on me, I became vengeful and sought revenge. I ended up sleeping with my sister-in-law's boyfriend to get back at my husband and at her for some things she did in the past. It took my pain away for a bit. Abby, I'm not this kind of person. I am not an evil, conniving tramp. I regret what I did every day, and I feel like garbage. My sister-in-law and I haven't spoken since I decided to tell her the truth. My husband and I, miraculously, were able to work through our problems, and our relationship is stronger than ever. My sister-in-law and her boyfriend have remained together, and I don't speak to him anymore either. What can I do to earn forgiveness? Is this even forgivable? How can I mend this family I helped tear apart? Signed, Only Human in Houston. Dear Only Human, you might start by apologizing to your sister-in-law for the pain you caused her, but after that, the decision about whether she can forgive you or wants anything more to do with you will be up to her. Prince Grandpa, Dear Abby, my granddaughter Becca just turned 6. One of her favorite things is to do role play, which includes the prince, me, kissing her, sometimes at the end of a wedding ceremony. Becca also likes to sit on my lap. My wife thinks I shouldn't allow her to sit there and that the interaction isn't appropriate. She says I may be mistaken for some kind of predator. It hurts me and Becca when I tell her we must find some other playtime scenario. I think it's harmless. Who's right here, my wife or me? Is there an age a granddaughter reaches when this kind of interaction becomes taboo? What about giving her a goodbye kiss when she departs? Signed, Baffled Grandpa in El Paso. Dear Baffled, do Becca's parents agree with your wife? I would be more concerned with whether they consider your playing Prince Charming to be inappropriate. At 6, I see no harm in it. When Becca is 8 or 9, your wife may have a point. Of course, by then she may prefer to be Supergirl rather than a princess, and have other objectives than being a bride. As to kissing your granddaughter hello or goodbye, that's perfectly appropriate, regardless of her age. And when you do, I seriously doubt anyone will mistake you for a predator. Bad Dad. Dear Abby, I married a woman of my dreams 2 months ago. I asked my father to be my best man, and he accepted. But he didn't fulfill his duties. There was no bachelor party, no best man speech, and he and my mother left the reception after only an hour. I was hurt and disappointed. I have avoided talking to him since. Should I tell him how much he hurt me, or just forgive and forget? Signed, Let Down in Macon, Georgia. Dear Groom, I vote for doing both, if you can. When your father accepted the invitation, he may not have understood that being your best man would involve more than standing beside you at the altar. Why he and your mother would leave the reception early is puzzling, but it may have meant that for some reason they felt uncomfortable there. You need to explore that. Holiday Jazz at Millikan in 8th year. Jazz is a music genre known to borrow from other styles. So when it comes to playing some traditional Christmas music on the saxophone or trumpet, Randy Raymond said it's a seamless transition. As has become a holiday tradition at Millikan, the Millikan University Faculty Jazz Sextet will take the stage at Kirkland this Saturday for the 8th annual Holiday Jazz Show. While thoughts of jazz may not mix with the idea of sleigh bells, Raymond, Millikan University Director of Jazz Activities, said the performers will put their own twist on the classics. Jazz musicians for decades have been adapting other kinds of music to jazz, said Raymond, who also plays saxophone for the sextet. We've come up with some really cool things with some of our arrangements. You know the melody that you love, but it's in a whole different way. The overall formula for the show doesn't change much from year to year, mixing new music selections in among the material that Raymond and company have found gets the best reaction. Holiday Day Jazz has become the de facto signature event of Millikan's Faculty Jazz Sextet, in which Raymond is joined by Brian Justison, Ed Schaller, Dave Burdick, Perry Rask, and Steve Weidenhofer. Though they only get the chance to play together several times a year, Raymond said that actually adds to the specialness of the holiday show. I think the fact we don't play a lot of music together makes it more special. If we played every week, it'd just be a gig. One constant to the annual show has been the return of Millikan alum Angel Spezia, a Chicago-based jazz singer who has endeared herself to audiences and become something of a seventh member of the group during the holiday season. Spezia, if I'm pronouncing it right, was a former student of Raymond dating back to her 2003 graduation when she was the vocalist for the university's jazz band. Since then, Raymond and her other former instructors have watched her blossom into a successful vocalist. She's just really developed as a singer since her time here at Millikan, Raymond said. We cannot imagine anyone else performing the way she does. If you go, it's the Holiday Jazz with the Millikan University Faculty Jazz Sextet. It's at 7:30 p.m. Saturday, December 12th at Kirkland Fine Arts Center. Tickets are $15, $20, or $25. Check online at millikan.edu/events. Annual Millikan Dance Show features students, faculty. Solstice, a concert of dance, is the annual performance put together by Millikan University. The show comprises a dozen performances, each choreographed and performed by a mix of student and faculty members. The show has performances tonight and Saturday, December 12th. It's at 7:30 p.m. today and 2 p.m. tomorrow in the Albert Taylor Theater at Millikan University. Online, it's millikan.edu/events. Tickets are $10. That's all we have time for today's reading of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated December 11th, 2015. This is Barbara Ridenour. I look forward to reading with you again soon.